Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I got the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Back with another episode of the Ricky Henderson of Podcast, the greatest of all podcasts, GOAP. And back for his second stint is the world's most famous hot dog vendor, Hal, and economist, Hal Gordon. Hal, how you doing, man? You doing all right?
I'm doing great.
Dude, Hal, so you have you have the A's Twitter sphere on fire the past couple weeks, dude. Great job. You created an 80 person A's Twitter sphere, like March Madness bracket. We're down to the final two now. We got Brian Sandlot 408, friend of the podcast, and Brody Brazil in the finals. Dude, can you just talk about like the whole genesis of that and where you got inspiration and all that?
Well, I've seen a couple Twitter communities sort of do these silly March Madness knockout brackets before. I think like somebody did it with all these national baseball guys like a week or two ago, and I think somebody I think his name's Pablo, he went out and did one for A's, but it was mostly just like his like eight best friends and then like me.
I saw that account is suspended now. I don't know what that guy did. He's suspended right now from Twitter, but Detad.
Oh, he got suspended.
Yeah, Detad 54. Shout out to that guy. Yeah.
You don't put time into your Twitter brackets. They're going to kick you off.
I saw you were in the final for that, right? You made it the final for the 20 person.
You and I were both kicked out by A's
Athletics Rants.
Athletics Rants. The Athletics Rants.
We both got knocked out.
Tyrant.
Same guy.
So I was like, well, you know, I think at the beginning I was like, well, you know, I want to keep winning. I want to keep winning. So I'm going to create a bigger one.
The competitor in you was like, damn, right. You're like, oh, I made it to the final. I got to see if I could do another one.
Well, So of course, as soon as I like published it, I'll just say, as soon as I published it, you know, like 10 people who like obviously should have been included were like, hey, what's up? And I was like, okay, I got to take myself out.
Like but, penalize yourself. You're like, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I think, especially, you know, I really started getting on Twitter, I think, right when the coronavirus happened and we were missing we missed, you know, most of the 2020 season. And I've just really, you know, I've really enjoyed the nonsense that goes on Twitter around the A's. So, you know, and I thought there's some good accounts that people might, you know, not see enough from or whatever. I asked a couple times, I was like, hey, like send in nominations. Really? And like, you know, nobody like even knew what the hell I was talking about.
Oh, really? At first?
I think like two people sent in nominations. So I had to like.
You were just like, all right, got a three person bracket. Yeah, let's go.
Pulled up a Google spreadsheet and I had to like start ranking people. And I was like, oh, I don't know about this.
Yeah.
Well,
eventually you got a bunch of nominations eventually.
Oh,
right?
We eventually got some nominations in and we had about like 80 people. Maybe next year, if I do it again, I'm hoping to get like 128.
Oh, wow.
And, just really screw.
Put March Madness to shame.
Right. But yeah, I think that's fun because, in the early rounds, you know, it's just like, you know, fans going against other fans or fans against, you know, big guys, and then as it gets closer, you know, it's like people everyone knows. But listen, a couple of people reached out when I first announced it and they were like, what are you doing? This is
what do you mean?
Like they absolutely is nonsense. That's the point.
They're like, well, dude, what is it? Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing. Like, there's literally nothing happening. It's like, might as well, like, yeah. You know, like.
I hope he doesn't mind me saying, but Brian was like messaging me. He's like, I'm not worthy of this. He's the number one ranking. He's like, A, I'm not worthy of this. B, you have to put on all the other A's legends. I can't be number one. And I was like, well, none of them.
Well, tweets. Of course he's like, dude, he's a star of A's Twitter. Like,
yeah, you're a star of A's Twitter. I'm not taking you out. And
now here he is in the final. Now here
he's like, this just seems so silly. And I'm like, exactly. This is so silly. It's nonsense.
How did you do the seating? Was it like by, like, say X person got like 10 votes, they would be like, it was, do you just kind of itemize everybody?
I was hoping that like a bunch of people would like send in nominations, right? And then that would itemize people. I sent in my own nominations. I swear to God, I stayed up late.
Selection committee.
I was thinking, like, I set up a Google form. I thought everyone was going to like post in a bunch of stuff. I like wrote a short computer program, my data program to like turn that into rankings. I was like, I'm going to get a bunch of people. And then like four other people sent stuff in. So I just had to, I tried to put people in like four buckets. The first three buckets, I like just tried to rank them one to 36 or whatever.
Yeah.
And then everyone else, or one to, you know, like 48 or whatever, whatever. And then everyone else, I just like ordered them by the number of followers they had.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And those were like the play-in guys, but some of the
A lot of effort and time into this thing, dude.
Yeah, I mean, you know, anything, you know, I can do that isn't actually productive is what I like spend my time.
Please, to. You're like, oh, let me do that.
Yeah, no. So we had some big upsets early on. What was it? So I ended up, you know, not really ranking Kayla Vucinic.
Yeah, Kayla. Yeah, Kayla.
Kayla. And she like went on a tear. The first thing I did was I set the list to like Brian, like 2 hours before I released it. And Brian's like, not only does Jose Canseco not have a bye to the finals, you didn't even put him in there. Okay, fine. So I put him in there, and then Kayla ended up beating him in the first.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, that was like the first major upset. It was like the 14 seed. We're like, wow, yeah. Kayla just took down Jose Canseco, and then she took down Cole Irvin. I mean, she took out an A's player in the next round. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So I was wondering, should we include players? And you know, I was hoping, well, like my dream would be like one of the players responds. But like two, I was also thinking
that happened.
Yeah, I was thinking,
and that happened. Well,
if we put a player in and somebody beats them, then that's even more funny.
Shout out to Paul. Yeah, that was.
Oh my God!
I think that was the signature moment of the tournament so far.
Exactly.
I think it was Paul taking out Chris Bassett. Yeah.
Yeah. So Chris Bassett was two. Paul, who you know, another friend of the pod.
209 Tacos. Yeah, 209 right. Tacos, he's, part he's of the last of the, dive bar crew. Yeah.
Yeah, he's yeah. if you're one of the thousands watching this on YouTube, he's the one who created the How's My Pal logo.
I think our last episode has like 24 views right now. So yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, let me tell you, you haven't gotten the Hal bump yet. Okay?
Oh yeah, here we go, baby. Here we go.
Yeah. So like, you know, he like only has like 200 followers on Twitter. So like I kind of like threw him in there. And you know, we'll see. He was like a 15 seed. And,
I love talking about this, dude. This is so funny.
Yeah.
So a 15
and like, seed. It's like, you're actually like watching it in real time because it takes a day to run.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so immediately Chris Bassett takes, you know, because he's
I
think he and Tony Kemp have the largest sort of Twitter presence.
I thought Bassett, he might make it to the final, honestly. I thought he
would. I had no idea. I didn't know how people were gonna treat this. And so Bassett's like immediately like 70 to 30. Like that's a big lead.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And he doesn't retweet it, but he comments, goodbye, 209 Tacos.
Yeah, just like that.
It was like goodbye.
Yeah, it's like very like.
And I was like
he's going to push you off the ledge.
This is great. I can't believe he responded. And
then it backfired, completely backfired.
Yeah, so I was hanging out with my family, and like 2 hours later, I checked my phone, and all of a sudden, this poll has like twice as many votes as any other poll, and it's 50-50.
Yeah.
And apparently, Paul's like in a Discord channel with like he does like some type of like, I don't know if it's out of the park baseball or some type of
some video game. Yeah, yeah.
some type of like, yeah, it's like in a Discord community with all these like video game players.
Oh, and, so like, that's how we got the push.
And all of the people on this Discord also have Twitter accounts for their fantasy like fake players. Mm-hmm. And so apparently he dropped the link. As soon as this happened, I was like, oh no. And I like Googled, is it easy to buy boxes? Triple, and I was like, oh no, like I got like a website, it was like 10 cents a vote or like 2 cents a vote, and I was like, oh no.
Paul is secretly has like a little elves workshop of Twitter fake Twitter.
Yeah, and then like the last dive bar guys are like, you know, putting the Seabass's tweet on a t-shirt, and you know, I could only imagine what Chris Bassett was thinking. Like, you know, he's got like, you know, whatever, like 40,000 Twitter followers.
Yeah.
He's, you know, he's locked out. He might be traded anyway. Is he really gonna spend his like, you know, Christmas Eve tweeting at his Twitter followers to help them beat a guy who's 200 followers?
And his name is 209 Tacos. It's just hilarious. Yeah, like,
I think he originally responded. He's like, why you gotta be hustling out here? What's going on?
No, he's like, wait, am I gonna have to actually like retweet this to my phone? Yeah, but he did. Yeah, I like how he did it. I like how he just kind of let it play out, because
if he
retweeted, he could have won it. But he's like, I think he kind of wanted to see how it happened. He's like, right. Oh, I didn't know 209 Tacos had, you know, followers like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that happened a bunch last night. Last night we had Brody against Dallas, and Brody
in the Final Four.
the final four, cutting down the nets.
Yeah.
Brody.
Bust out the ladder,
Brody started tweeting pictures of Dallas in a Giants jersey.
Oh, that's hilarious! I didn't see that.
Oh yeah. Oh, and the Sharks the Sharks mascot was tweeting it out.
Oh really? Damn, yeah, dude, you're
trying to get people to vote for Brody.
That's hilarious, dude. Dude, that's sick. Like you.
I think Sharks Twitter definitely put him over the edge.
Well, I also think another epic moment was when Cass completely wiped Dave Cavill. It was like, what was it, like 15-85?
Yeah. I don't know if I should have put Dave in there, but you know, if this was a year ago, I think he could have done well.
Dude, I think he deserved. I mean, he's still a prominent Twitter personality. You know.
I think, I think he's been, he's doing his job, and I think that if we get Howard Terminal, hopefully all of this will have been in service of something. So. But I put him in there because, you know, he's like, got a lot
of followers. You should get a brick. Created A's Twitter 21 bracket.
That's right. The A's Twitter bracket. You know, we can, in the future, we'll have a giant bracket screen in the
it'll just be up there for that whole like every December, it'll just be like on this big screen for everybody to see.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, so I put him in there and I thought, okay, this will probably be a free pass for somebody through. And you know, like I said, I just listed them from, you know, 1 to 64. And then I, you know, had the Excel spreadsheet just populate the bracket. And I looked at it and I was like, oh,
That's how it popped out. Yeah, I mean, so yeah.
I didn't change it.
Yeah, Cass is like super. Yeah, if people don't. Yeah, if people don't know Cass, she's like super outspoken drummer for the A's, and she's been very critical of Cavill and the A's ownership. So that was perfect. That was poetry. That was funny, dude. Yeah. But dude, you got over 3,000 votes for the final for the last two semifinals, dude. That's pretty badass.
Yeah, it was fun. You know, I mean, like I said, hopefully this was like something fun for people to do while they're spending time with their families this week. And I just put up the new one.
I was gonna ask, did you put out the finals yet? Is that
put it up about 20 minutes ago? By the you are listening to this, I'm sure it's over, but
no, dude, I think I'm gonna put it out in real time. So
all right, you know, nice.
I'll try to put it out like in the next couple hours.
Find me at A's Hot Dog, or
yeah, you can follow Hal
a shot dog.
Yeah.
You know, and let's see.
Wow, we'll see how we're doing. Okay, I'm gonna go. Okay, I'm gonna do my vote right now on air. Okay,
okay, all right,
I'm gonna
okay.
do. Sorry, Brody, I gotta go with Bride. I'm gonna go with Bride on this one. Oh, he's up 60.2% to 39.8% as I say all this right now.
Yeah, that's
there's
right.
Still 23 hours. I mean, the poll's only been up for 31 minutes.
That's right.
But,
yeah.
But yeah, that was everybody wants to do it the same. Well, not everybody. 44.6% people want to do the poll the same way. So way to go, dude. I think you're onto something here, dude.
Yeah, no, I think it's been fun. You know, I'll reseed people next year. Look at how they did. You know, I gotta say the Ricky Henderson of vlogs. You guys, the selection committee gave you an 8 seed.
Hey, I made it out of the first round. That's all I can ask for.
You cruised to the second round, but then you were real close. I loved you were posting all those.
The We Believe. I tried to.
The We Believe in the Warriors against the Mavs when they were.
Yeah. Well, because it was like an 8-1 upset. I was like, oh, this is perfect. Oh, this is perfect. I was gonna ride the coattails of the Warriors, and I actually it kind of worked. Like when I posted that initially, I was down like 42-58, but then I ended up losing like 49-51 or 42-58. So it helped a little bit, I think. I don't know.
Yeah. I think so. And there's also and hopefully people, you know, were able to find some other stuff. There's other people.
Well, that's the thing. I got followers off. I think like it was cool. Like there you got to. I think it was like it was cool. I got to. I was pretty much following almost every account that was on there already. Yeah. But it was cool to. There was a few on there. I was like, oh, I didn't know that person. But yeah, that was fun, man. That was really funny and hilarious. Like obviously it didn't, but like I don't know, like the beat writers, like Shannon was tweeting, like, "Oh, you guys need to help me out." Like I don't know, it was cool, dude. It was cool to see.
Yeah.
So are you going to be back next year? I know. Are you finishing up your grad program? What's the deal with your status personally?
Yeah. So, with like, you know, the coronavirus working at home, it's really sort of slowed a lot of the work that I've been doing. So, you know, my graduation, it's like unclear exactly when I'm going to graduate. I think it might be, you know, could be by the end of the summer, could be by the end of 2022.
So that means you're going to be in the Bay Area next year.
I probably will. Yeah. I might be doing, I've been recently thinking about trying to find like some economics jobs and industry and stuff. So I've been doing some interviews to do some like summer internships, but everything's going to be remote. So it might not be every game. We'll see. But I think it'll be hard to keep me away, especially, you know, whatever I can swing, I'll definitely swing it.
Yeah. Even if it's part-time, dude, people would love it. People
absolutely
would love
yeah.
to see you there, you know?
Yeah. You know, and it's been tough, you know, it's just been tough. I think in general with baseball, with both coronavirus and the lockout and stuff, I was, you know, for a while I was trying to, you know, I've been doing the best I can to try and find a way to sort of keep doing this, you know, full time as much as I can, and you know, move on and find an econ job. But I don't know. I think in all,
your celebrity is growing too large now, Hal. I don't know. Your celebrity is growing too large.
you know, unless people start tipping $1,000 a game, I don't know.
Yeah.
How
feasible? Like, yeah.
Yeah,
know.
Yeah. The
Bay Area rents keep going up. Yeah.
With a PhD in econ, I don't know how long I could keep it up, but yeah. I think at least another year, and then you know that might be it, but. But if it is it, this has turned into something that has just been as much of a pleasure as it is for, I think, like, you know, little kids who I give cards to or people who enjoy me screaming and yelling in the stands, it's been, you know, twice as much of a pleasure for me. So, you know, this has been great.
This could be Hal's farewell tour, people. So you guys, you see him in 2022, make sure you get a hot dog and tip him well, especially the tip him well part.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll see.
Is there anything you want to plug? Is there some, doesn't Last Dive Bar have a line of clothes or
Last Dive Bar has the How's My Pal logo, which was Paul. I remember he just like posted that. It was like right before, like it was like in February, right before coronavirus hit, and I was like, well, hey, that's crazy, because like growing up, my instant message handle on AOL was Hal Pal or something, right? I was like, you got it. And then Ace Fan by Design, he did the Gimme an A, and so right when coronavirus hit, I was selling those for, we ended up sending a bunch of money to all the vendors who were out of work, but since then it's all on Last Dive Bar, and they, you know, they do great work. They send all their money to charity and stuff.
Yeah, they send out like tens of thousands of dollars
it's crazy. Local
charities, actually.
It's crazy. Like,
it's pretty awesome. Yeah.
It's crazy, like, how many Last Dive Bar t-shirts I've been, especially by the end of.
I'm pretty broke. Otherwise, I'd get more.
No, but like the stadium, it's like everyone is wearing that shirt, you know? And that's fun. You know, couldn't happen to, it makes me cry a little tear for Fanatics every time I see somebody wearing that shirt instead of.
Dude, actually, there was some Last Dive Bar crime. Like, even though 209 Tacos beat Bassett, he lost to Ace Fan by Design the next round.
That's right.
I was like, wow.
I think in the next round, he decided to not release his hounds from his Discord channel. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. But yeah, I think, you know, I'm still pumped about, we still got some stuff this year. We'll see how many players we actually have left when they hit the field, but I'm excited for the rest of the Howard Terminal stuff, because that's coming up.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I mean, so there's been some movement on there. They finalized the environmental impact report. And also, can you just give people background on exactly what you study and how it's maybe applicable? There is some crossover between what you're studying and like this.
I'm an econ PhD student, technically in the agricultural and resource economics department. The actual econ department at Berkeley is like, if I'm a nerd, these guys are like ultra nerds. I can't run with those guys. But I do like a lot of environmental research and economics research. So this coming semester, I'm teaching, my advisor's actually on sabbatical. So I'll be teaching undergrads at Berkeley. I'm teaching her like electricity market course, which like goes into cap and trade and stuff. And
that's crazy. Research. Enroll at Cal, you can learn from Cal.
Yeah. That's right, baby. No, I have a funny story. Last time I was teaching, some students who were like go to my office hours all the time, like one of them clearly found my Twitter page, mm-hmm. In the middle, like the next time he saw me, he yells, "Give me an A!" And I was like, "Hey!" He's like, no, I mean it. I would like an A for this course.
That's hilarious. That's perfect. That's perfect, dude.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
No, seriously, give me an A. Like, no.
I was like, oh, okay, well, yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, but.
So there's some crossover. Like, so you've been pretty, I mean, obviously you're interested just in the stadium as an A's fan in general, but like there's some actual like academic crossover too, right?
Yeah, like, I think like there's, so if you followed me on Twitter, I think I've mentioned a few times, like there's like a lot that's been written in economics about how sort of the promise of stadiums is, you know, public money for stadiums is never really a good idea. And a lot of those papers are written on sort of, I think, how most stadiums were funded in the past. And if you want to think about that, it's sort of like the Raiders football stadium in Las Vegas, right? Where they like add a new tax and they say, the stadium is going to generate tons of new economic activity.
$750 million.
Yeah, that
dude.
Tax will pay yeah. for it. And there's just sort of no proof that that sort of ever works. But I was trying to be out there and I was able to write something for SFGate, saying like, well, the things that they actually want, the way that they're sort of funding it are not the old ways. You know, first, like all the time these stadiums say, we're going to bring a bunch of new development and economic activity just because we're there. And the Howard Terminal is great because it's not just a stadium. It's also, you know, this big development that the A's are going to do themselves. So, you know, when stadiums say, oh, we're going to transform the neighborhood, you know, I think it's a lot of times like magical thinking. But in this case, it's not, because they're actually going to transform the neighborhood themselves. I'm the kind of person who, I think one of the biggest problems that the Bay Area has is not enough housing. Mm-hmm. And even if it's only partly affordable, the economist in me says, well, you know, if you increase supply in the high end, that will take pressure off the low end. And there's been some studies that say that. So, you know, I think even building 3,000 new units, which is what the A's want to do, even if I think maybe 15% of them are going to be affordable, I think that that's still good mm-hmm. for the Bay Area in general.
That's what they're proposing right now. It's like 450 out of the 3,000 units will be affordable.
Yeah, I think that's right. And then some of the money, when this gets closer and there's more talks about all the community benefits and stuff, you should have like Bleacher Dave back on.
Yeah, for sure.
Because Bleacher Dave, he knows... He's been, you know, following this forever, and he knows everything about the community benefits. But some of the money will also go towards doing stuff like funding some affordable units offsite, and also
like preservation and renovation and stuff like that too, right? Like kind of just keeping.
Yeah, funding services like eviction defense and stuff, which is close to my heart because my wife is. My wife's an eviction defense attorney here in San Francisco. So
I'm sure right now that's a big issue, right? Especially right now with.
I think it's always going to be a big issue in the Bay with big rents because, you know, you get evicted or you lose your house here. It's not like you just find a new place. You're either homeless or you have to leave the area usually with a lot of these people who have rent control or, you know, are public housing and stuff. So it does, you know, it's only 450, I think, affordable units, but yeah. It will also, they'll use some of the money, the new tax revenue.
I heard it's like $50 million. I think it's like they're setting aside $50 million, which isn't that much money in this day and age. I mean, it's something, obviously it's a lot, but I mean, it's like $50 million, but how far can you stretch that? I don't know.
It's not everything. You can buy a heck of a lot of eviction defense attorneys. I know that for certain. You don't have to pay them that much. But
hire Hal's wife. No.
$50 million. I think what is true about it is it's $50 million that the city wouldn't have without the project. You know, if this was a world where, it was really easy, you know, to build new things and new places and, you know, the A's decided to go to Vegas and then there was three other developers standing right behind them saying, yeah, let's turn Howard Terminal into a giant affordable housing village or something else, you know, all these X, Y, or Z. Like, I think that there would be a good argument to say, you know, why are we giving the A's, you know, this deal? But it's so hard to build new projects in California because mm-hmm. of CEQA, because of the power of, I think, like, there's just so many. CEQA is the law that forces people to do an environmental impact report whenever they build something. There's lots of
There's like a lot more bureaucratic red tape.
California.
Right? Yeah.
So I think if you want, you know, some community benefits, and you want the Howard Terminal to get developed, you know, and not be just a parking lot, I think it's sort of like the one chance you have. And the other thing I think is that they need quite a bit of money to, and I think this was always sort of when the A's originally put out their proposal, and then you, mm-hmm. I remember you interviewed Dave. That was a really good interview right when you put that out. Mm-hmm. The A's had said, you know, well, we need $350 million or $400 million or something in the surrounding neighborhood to, you know, make it safe for
the offsite infrastructure.
People to get to the stadium, to make it desirable for people to buy these apartments and to put these, you know, rent this office space and, you know, X, Y, and Z. You know, they had said, well, we should use, the property taxes of the area around it. And I think that gets close to that sort of magical thinking of that, the stadium is just going to make everybody's land much more valuable. And like, maybe not,
that second proposed CFD they were proposing, like that larger CFD. Happened with, I don't know, whatever. Is that even
what's happening with that? I think the city said no to that. I think that was probably right if they had a second plan. And I think,
because Dave was like, hey, that's like a massive potential revenue stream, you know, like that's a massive, that's like, that could be like the actual reason they were doing this.
I think if you listen to some of the best sort of people who I think the best voices who are against or very skeptical of the program, I know Zenny Abraham, will interview. He's like done a few interviews with the,
Mike Jacobs or something
like Mike Jacobs, the general PMSA counsel.
Yeah,
the general counsel of the longshoremen. Those interviews are good. I also find them that they both know like a lot about the minutiae of like all the bureaucracy.
Zenny's next level. Yeah.
I have to sort of be like, I'm not really sure what they're talking about, but I think what they'll say is like, where's this money coming from? Because the city has just said, we'll deal with it, don't worry about it. And so I think that they think that the city is going to eventually like...
Well, they tapped into some federal... Isn't there some massive infrastructure spending stimulation bill that Biden is passing
That passed... This is pretty far beyond what I think a lot of people, or especially I know, but what I've heard, what I've heard is that they, and it seems like that they are trying to get a lot of like federal or state grants for that money. I think the reason why they haven't announced what they're doing there is like, you know, is they're like sort of getting those dollars in. They probably don't have it all yet, but.
Didn't Libby Schaff, didn't she come out and say like, yo, I think we even got more than the $450 million the A's are seeking?
Yeah,
or $350 million?
Yeah. So they said we have a plan. We have a plan and we have it, and they haven't said what they have yet. But I mean, you know, I think then if you're an opponent, let's say that they have all of that money in federal and state grants, and they don't have to do any bonding, you know, you could be an opponent of this. And just be like, well, that's great, but, why are the federal and state government spending all this money on, you know, getting people to a ballpark? And, you know, at that point, it's like,
yeah, good point.
I don't know.
That's a good point, actually. There's probably maybe other or uses we could do for this.
True. But like, you know, I think, you know, when I think a lot of infrastructure money ends up going to building highways and, you know, expanding, you know, interstates and stuff.
880 could use it. Yeah.
If you're gonna spend that money instead on like getting people, you know, building bike lanes and getting people to use buses and walking, you know, I think I think that's great. So I'm not mad about it. I'm sure that the Teamsters will be mad about it, but I have no idea. You know, they say that this is going to be really bad for the business, and I have no idea if it is that. Oops, yeah.
But I mean, this thing is like progressing though. Like, you know, there's something. I know people are saying, oh, nothing's happening, but like, dude, this is progressing. Like on January 19th, the City of Oakland Planning Commission. Do you have more insight exactly what the City of Oakland Planning Commission is and what their role is in the city?
There's better people to talk to about this, but my understanding is that it is, you know, sort of another one of the sort of the red tape hurdles that you have to jump through.
It's like a six person.
They're part of city government, but they're not the city council. And I think that, you know, they have to like say that, I think this is more of a plan of saying like, yes, this fits in.
Like it's within the best interests or whatever. Oh, I see. Okay.
Like the city's plan of development. That'll be a public meeting on Zoom.
January 19th at 3:00. Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're on January 9th, I'm sure I'll tweet about it. If you're at work and you want to, you know, like want to put it on in the background, I'm sure there'll be a time that you
could be like a 14-hour session again.
I'll try and listen to it. And I'll tweet again. Like, hey, it's now time to raise your hand. Cause there'll be a lot of people there from the East Oakland Stadium Alliance based in West Oakland. And, and, you know, I think it's nice to just chime in. And if you're listening to this podcast and you want to know what you can do, I think, you know, just writing down, it's just something for a minute, you know, that says, hey, you know, I'm a fan of the A's. I can't wait to spend time at this park and walk to the stadium and, you know, see everything transformed. I think that'll be good. And then I think the next major thing will be sometime in February.
I'm surprised the city of, they put that on their website. I was surprised they put that on their website. When they released the final, thing, they said, so what's next is the City of Oakland Planning Commission. And then they said, they even wrote it in the city council, likely will look at it February 22. I was like, oh shit.
Right, yeah.
Like, so they're putting pressure on themselves. Almost,
the city council would like pass the EIR. Yeah. That'll be another
certification.
Big certification fight. Again, what they're doing there is the EIR basically says, CEQA, which was like passed in the 70s or whatever, says like, you know, you can't build anything new without, you know, assessing how it affects the environment, which sounds good, but environment is now sort of, you know, known to be like how it affects anyone who lives 10 blocks down from you. And also, to me as an environmental economist, the things that I think I care most about are like local air pollution, and, you know, climate change stuff. And so if you're to tell me like, oh, we're going to do something that might, you know, might impact Schnitzer Steel or, you know, the port, which has all these giant boats idling, gurgling diesel and O2 into the air. You know, whenever you see like boats and those big container ships just sitting there in the bay, like, They're polluting a lot now. They've done some stuff. I think they electrify, like they plug when they in dock, they like plug into the electric grid, so they're not committing so much local air pollution. But it's a lot of local air pollution. And then if you're to say like, should we build 3,000 housing units within a mile of BART? You know, how many of those people are going to, you know, if they couldn't buy, you know, if they can't buy even these rich people, if they can't buy a condo in Oakland, they might end up buying, you know, a house in Dublin or something, and then they'll be driving to work every day rather than, you know, taking the BART into the city every day or something, you know. So to me, it's like, oh, this is great for the environment, but that's not what the EIR actually does. But now that I'll stop ranting about that, but sorry.
No, dude, it's a podcast. We're here to rant, baby.
That's right. That's right. February 22nd, the city council will vote on certifying the EIR. And then I think this is my understanding again, other people probably might say I'm wrong, and I probably would be wrong if they do. And then I think that everyone and their mother has 270 days to sue the city over the EIR. There's a special state carve out for this project, which says all the courts have to be done 270 days after that. So I don't know if that means that they won't, that the city won't. So I think that the city council basically has to pass two things, right? They have to approve the EIR, and then we have to go back and remember that meeting in June when Cavill had his memorandum of understanding or whatever it was. I forget what the term was. Term sheet. His term sheet that they passed it. Then they have to like finalize a term sheet. And that,
I think development the thing, agreement or something like
that's
that.
That's right. Yeah, the development agreement. Yeah. The things to look out for there, I think, are by then the city probably will have to have said how they're going to pay for all the off-site stuff. They'll have to finalize, you know, what percent of like housing is going to be affordable, who's going to pay for that. So I think right now, the on-site affordable housing, like the A's are actually going to be sort of compensated for some of that through the on-site tax vehicle. And then there's also this other tax, which is a transfer tax, a pretty substantial, I think, transfer tax, which I think is aimed to get $40 million or something. But that just says that whenever anyone, after the first sale, whenever anyone sells a condo on Howard Terminal, they have to pay the city a percent of
the buyer and the seller, or just the seller, or do you know?
Well, it's interesting that you say that. I think it's probably the buyer, but in economics, we have this thing called tax incidence, and that says that no matter where who physically has to pay the tax, who has to send the check in, that doesn't matter. The buyer and seller will share the tax based on something called their elasticities, each of theirs elasticities, which is sort of like the slope of their demand and supply curves. Basically, if you have a very inelastic demand for something, so that would be like, oh, prices don't really matter to me. So like if you smoke cigarettes and you're addicted to cigarettes, you really want to smoke cigarettes. If there's a cigarette tax, even if the...
It's like $20 of a pack, you're still going
to
buy it.
Right, yeah. If the gas station is the one who physically has to pay the tax, you know, if we say, oh, it's actually in the gas station knows that the smokers are addicted. So they'll pay the tax, but they'll also jack up the price really high. So it'll end up being that the customers will. I wonder, because if you're searching for a condo, and there's only one condo, you know, the condos at Howard Terminal have to pay this extra tax. And you could buy a condo, you know, anywhere else in the city without the tax. I think that it will mean that whoever's the sellers are going to be the ones who end up paying the tax. And the thing, why I'm going into this is my theory here is that even though the tax only applies to the second sales, I think that the A's, if they're smart, or if they talk to an economist, someone would tell them, well, even the first buyers are going to realize that they're going to eventually have to pay this tax down the road. So they might not pay as much for these condos from you to begin with. So, you know, if the A's were to get their way, I'm sure they probably are not excited about that condo tax, transfer tax. But I also figure, I think it'll be hard for the A's to try and convince Major League Baseball that they have to move to Las Vegas just because they don't want to pay this one, you know, that they might have to pay part of this one
.075% transfer fee or whatever. Yeah,
yeah, but I think the reason why I bring it up is I think that there's a chance that could be an issue, in negotiations. But, you know, I also, like I said, I think this is kind of small potatoes. So I think that as long as
like the major framework is my understanding is like the major framework is in place. Like they're still negotiating the development agreement as we speak.
Yeah.
I mean, it's on a trajectory. Like I think Oakland has made an effort. They've got the signal from the A's. Like they need to make, you know, they've got Alameda County involved. Like if this doesn't go through, I think it's because the A's ultimately don't want it to go through and they can.
Yeah, I think there's also a chance that
negotiation.
Either the city council or the Alameda Board of Supervisors gets cold feet. You know, if too many people show up at these things and say we wanted 30%, affordable housing.
It's only 15.
It's only 15. Yeah, we had in San Francisco last month. There was like a 500 unit building that they were going to build on top of the parking lot at Nordstrom's. That had like 20% affordable housing, and the Board of Supervisors in San Francisco said, "Nah, not enough affordable housing." And so there's just no plan. It's still going to be a parking lot. So, you know, never say never. But yeah, I think if you were to ask me to give a percent, I would say it's over 80%, somewhere in the 80 to 85%.
What being done this project?
Yeah, that they'll end up getting the project done, I think. So.
Oh, wow. That's more optimistic than I'm still, because I don't know. Like, I'm still think there's something nefarious going on with the A's. Like, if they spot, they might have a more lucrative deal in Vegas, they'd take it. But I just think right now, they're so deep into this.
Yeah, no, I think that's right.
I think they're so deep into this. It's like, this is their best option. They should just do it, you know.
If they were at the same
like 70-ish
level progression as they are with Vegas, as they were with Oakland, I would like be like 0%.
Yeah, I mean, it's just they're so far behind. Yeah, they are. I think they're beyond the 50%. Like with this certification, like they've done more work than there needs to be done, kind of a thing. Like they're beyond that threshold, you know.
Yeah, and you know, I think that there's only one person, you know, whose opinion really matters. Which is John Fisher. But,
John Fisher.
You know, he's from the Bay Area. And you also got to, like, probably everyone in that office, you know, that's working for them and him, you know, lives here. I don't think, you know, any of them want to move to Las Vegas. I think you're right. I think that, like, maybe the biggest sort of unknown is if John Fisher just decides, like, I just want to move to Vegas. But then they'll have to convince Major League Baseball that, you know, I don't think Major League Baseball will let them move if Oakland has a, you know, I guess there's.
Well, I heard some people think that Major League Baseball is actually using the A's as a research tool. Like, oh, yeah, turn up all these stones, see if it's legit. And then they'll just use that insight. Even if the A's don't move there, they'll just use all that knowledge and apply it to a future MLB franchise. Just
I think it's like, do
our homework for us, dude. Great.
The same deal won't apply back to Oakland, right? Like if the A's leave, there's not going to be an expansion.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
But if the A's don't go to Vegas, there still could be an expansion team there.
Yeah.
So I'm optimistic. I think it's been truly a shame is the fact that the fan base gets beat up again.
Yeah, just gets shafted. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I wish it was like Europe where the communities, even if they don't own the teams, you know, teams don't move because if Vegas wanted to be in Major League Baseball, they'd, you know, the Aviators would just spend a bunch of money and get promoted, you know. And if the A's didn't want to spend any money, they just sent to AAA. But people don't move there, you know?
Yeah.
But it means a lot less profits for owners. So they'll never do that.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Just the average person here just makes more money. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I'm very optimistic about the state here, so...
Cavill finally tweeted about it for the first time in forever. He was like, hey, we got our draft. Now all we need is a binding vote. Now, so like that's the A's next, you know, they're always moving the goalpost, but that's their next goalpost now is the final bind. That's their next goal. So, I think that could happen. I don't know. Yeah. That whole 270 day thing. I got to look into that, but I don't know, man. I think like by this point next year, I think we will have a pretty concrete I think we'll know. But
I think on December 31st, 2022,
yeah,
we will either be like talking about, you know, the meeting, the city council meeting next month, or that everything will have passed, or the A's will be gone. Yeah. So okay,
we should know. It's 2022. Yeah, we should know.
We will find out this year.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, I think that's pretty much all I got, dude. But yeah, thank you so much. And thanks for doing that Twitter poll again. That was really fun, dude.
Yeah,
that was great.
Alex, it's just tons of fun to be on here and talk to you. Yeah. I hope you keep doing. I'm always excited when one of these podcasts pop up.
Absolutely, man. I'm going to try to keep doing it. I'm working a lot for my other new job, but... when I got time. Yeah.
This is you're listening to the main voice of which
95.7 the game. No, I've never.
That's right. 95.7 the game.
95.7 the game. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything online? That's your boy Alex.
Oh yeah. But yeah, dude. So I don't know. We'll see. And then I might be going to get back in the ballpark again this year. So who knows, dude? We'll see. But,
that's right. See.
So maybe I'll be seeing you. Yeah, maybe I'll be seeing you at the ballpark.
See all the new acquisitions we get from our impending fire sample.
Woo! Oh yeah, can't wait. All right, man. Well, thank you so much, Hal. Make sure to go follow him at A's Hot Dog or a Shot Dog, depending on how your brain reads it on Twitter. Yeah, awesome, man. Well, thank you so much, Hal.
Thanks a lot.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use 3 kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.